Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Babe.
I'm Laura.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is...
Babe.
God.
Okay, that's a way to start.
Yeah, a huge yawn.
So listen, we're having a babe emergency. I want to be Paul Frank with the viewers.
What's the babe emergency?
Viewership is down.
Oh. Yeah, it is down.
It is down.
What the fuck?
We don't know what's going on because it feels like in my echo chamber that it's doing really well.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're really thriving and succeeding and really on the verge of world fame, world renowned.
But the numbers.
Fame and awards.
The numbers don't lie. So.
No, but the numbers say otherwise.
The numbers say that we're tanking. And we might not get renewed for another season.
There's been a little bit of a dip.
We're not going to get renewed for season two.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. But no, we have some tricks up our sleeve. We want to start having guests because I think it's really fun to talk to people about moments that they've babed hard.
Mm-hmm.
But Laura is not quite at the level.
Here's the deal. We record this.
You want to do it. I know you're on board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the problem?
Well, you just can't do it.
I have the technology for me and one other guest.
Yes.
And if we have a different guest, we only have two microphones. So then that person would have to share a microphone and that just doesn't work.
But it goes beyond us getting another microphone.
It goes into then editing.
Yeah.
It just is like,
it's a lot.
It's a lot. Cause I already produce, edit,
right,
and record this entire journey.
Right.
So what I tell Ryan is that I would love to have a guest. I would love have a guest. Yes, please.
Yes.
But in order to have a guest, Ryan has to meet me halfway.
I'm down. I want to.
Yeah.
So we're probably gonna do that. So
I don't appreciate how you're trying to confront me right now. Literally trying to cause drama and conflict.
I love
right
confrontation on the
you
podcast.
Love confrontation.
I love starting off with a confrontation.
Someone had said what? Like in our, we got a lot of people taking the listener survey, which was awesome. Thank you.
You
everyone.
Mean the reader survey?
Yeah, the viewer survey.
The viewer survey.
And someone was like, because in the survey it asked like, do you have any dislikes about the podcast? And someone wrote, it's kind of awkward when they call each other out, but it's fine, really.
Really?
But I'm calling you out for literally trying to start this episode off by creating conflict and drama with me.
Well, I'm just trying.
We literally
I'm
had
just
this
trying
conversation.
To up viewership.
Well, obviously the viewers.
This is sweeps. This is a sweeps episode.
Obviously, the viewers would love other guests, yeah. But you need to do the work if you want that to happen.
No, we are. So I think when I wrap Will and Grace, which is at the end of January, February we'll start to roll out episodes
every once in a while with guests.
Yeah, which I think will be fun. And we also are working on getting babe merch. That's gonna be really fun.
Yeah, it's a journey.
We're gonna do one t-shirt. We're gonna start with one t-shirt. We're gonna do limited edition, so it will sell out and we'll look chic.
Yeah,
we will look chic. Mm-hmm. And the t-shirt will be chic.
Yeah,
but so we're in the beginning stages of doing that.
Yeah,
it's gonna be good.
We're moving forward.
Yeah, I really wanted a
Ryan has lots of ideas and big ideas, but doesn't understand that like that requires a lot of work and
follow-through.
Well,
that's why we're paring it down.
Yeah.
So I originally wanted a picture of Lindsay Lohan passed out in the drive in the passenger seat wearing the American Apparel hoodie. You guys know, any babe would know what this picture is. And I just wanted a photo of that with the words babe underneath it. But that's illegal and we will get sued because that's not our photo.
Yeah, we can't just use
so
photos.
It'll be a little bit more pared down than that, but it will still be good. You'll like it.
Yeah, I just want to have merch that I myself would wear because I'm a merch hound and it's like really important to me. As
Laura wanted like tie dye or like, she literally was like, let's make it like 80s band shirts.
Yeah.
And I was like, no.
Well, Ryan has weird taste in merch.
I just wanted to.
What I'm realizing about our, like, when we decided to talk about babe merch is that we have really different approaches of what kind of, like, merch we like to wear and buy. Like, right now, I'm wearing a tie-dye shirt for a Dead cover band called Jerry's Middle Finger. And Ryan's wearing a black shirt with white lettering that says, I'm a mess.
So neither of us are operating at our full potential today.
Yeah. Like, I love this. No. I'm 100% down. I love this shirt.
Okay. It's my gym shirt. It just came from the gym.
Mm-hmm. Well, so Ryan and I, it's going to be a real babe journey to figure out where our middle ground lies and where we both feel happy about the merch that's happening.
Yeah.
That it represents me and my sensibilities.
Oh, God. It's going to be us like going to the factories.
As a fashionista.
Yeah, right. Like doing like samples, like magnifying glass. More samples! Like, swatch samples. Swath? Mm-hmm. Wait, swatch?
Swatch.
Swatch samples.
So, I mean, let us know. Like, involved. I love like a vintage rock tee inspired journey. And I think I could, I know like artists that could do it.
Moment of whatever. Ryan I like a simple likes, white tee with lettering.
Yeah, but Ryan likes like a simple white tee with lettering. Which I find to be a little
but
basic.
I think that like doing it like an 80s concert tee makes it too busy. Too busy Phillips.
I disagree. And I love well, busy Phillips, let so the, I'm the, ready for
let
it.
Let the readers decide what they want.
Well, no. We'll decide. I'm open to their feedback, of course.
See Lara turning her back on the readers?
No, I'm open to feedback, but ultimately it has to be you and my journey deciding.
Will.
And it requires trust. And I realized too that I need to trust you. But then you need to trust me too.
You need to trust me. I trust you.
Okay.
You have trust issues.
I do have a lot of trust issues. The merch conversation brought them out in a real way.
The wall immediately goes up. You get triggered quickly.
I get really triggered.
You get triggered quick, and I'm just like, okay.
I know, but I think you need to just call me out when I'm getting like triggered like that. I need some checks and balances.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see what all happens. I'm on the edge of my seat. What? What?
I need checks and balances with my triggers.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
God, we will.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, pray for us. Like, literally, the rest of the listeners that were left, like, dropped off.
I know. They're like, anyway.
We get our analytics attack, and it's like two listens. It's just me on SoundCloud listening over and over and over.
Oh, honey.
Oh.
Okay, so Lara also wants things to be based around a theme, which I kind of like.
I think, well, I'm saying, what can we do to like make this podcast, to like, what can we do, harness the power to make this podcast live up to its true potential? And I was like, why don't we just have a theme week to week and then we can riff off of that? But then it like becomes like, oh, we're going to talk about this and then it'll inspire other journeys based off a theme.
Okay. So,
which Ryan is what? Really,
no,
it
I'm
took
down.
A long time.
I'm down.
Oh, but we're okay.
Oh, I'm so down. So, we're this week now. We're going to talk about bodies and hair
because that's hair? Part of the body. We're just going to talk body journeys,
times that you've babed out with your bod, which is kind of, I don't know. I mean,
I've babed out with my hair before,
what do
like
you mean?
A lot.
What
I feel well, I feel like
remember when you were going blonde for 2 years?
Well, it took 2 years to do it.
I know.
You don't unless you're literally
thousands of dollars.
Yeah, unless you're like Kim Kardashian and you can spend like $8,000 going perfectly platinum blonde in a day, which is pretty much what that would take. Like, it would take 24 hours to get like your hair from dark black or dark brown hair to then perfect platinum hair.
Oh my God.
It's not like like the misconception about hair is that you can just like do it cheaply or going blonde. You can just do it in one fell swoop, but you really are risking a lot by doing that.
I learned that.
And like, so it took me 2 years because I went blonde by getting just highlights. So I would get highlights and then highlights over highlights. And you just get, you get like 8 to 10 rounds of highlights and you go blonder and blonder
and
blonder.
Which is literally.
But that creates a lot of dimension.
The cost of a down payment for a house, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, it's like in LA, to get a good person to do it is like 500 per highlight session. So that's why it also took a long time, because I'm not going to go every like 2 months and spend $500. Like I would go like every 4 or 5 months.
Do you still get your haircut?
I haven't gotten it colored in almost a year.
Wow.
And I'm freaking out because it's like kind of two-tone right now. I'm trying to just like rock an ombre and just like, but even saying that phrase, rocking an ombre, made me, I like tensed up and kind of like, almost had a seizure.
Yeah. But no, I think it looks good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out my next hair journey, which is that I really... Okay, so I've gotten super into Riverdale.
Oh my God. I'm
fully caught up and I need...
You know that I met on that show to write for it.
What?
Yeah. I met the showrunner. Yeah.
You met Greg Berlanti, but I didn't know you
I met Greg Berlanti for something else, but I met... God, what was his name?
His name's like Rodrigo or Roberto.
Roberto. Yeah, I met him. Yeah, for staffing.
Which season?
The first season. Yeah, I didn't get it. Obviously. But I liked him a lot.
Oh,
I don't
my
know.
God.
Sometimes I think I have too much personality in meetings.
That show is everything to me.
Yeah. Is so, it? I haven't watched it.
Oh, I'm obsessed with Riverdale. And if we have any listeners that have also listened to Riverdale or listened to Riverdale.
I read the pilot was good.
It's like everything.
Okay.
It's like Twilight meets all the Archie comics characters, meets like noir murder.
Are there
mysteries.
Any gay guys?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
There's a gay character and he has a whole storyline about how he like cruises in the woods and like Betty discovers him cruising and she's like kind of judgy and he's like, you can't judge me, like this is how I meet people, like blah blah blah. And it's like, ooh, they kind of get woke on Riverdale and talk about like,
okay,
current events.
Well, Roberto's gay, so yeah.
And so it's the
I'm
best
sorry,
show
did I just out him.
It's kidding. The best show on TV, and there are a lot of redhead characters on Riverdale, so I've really been wanting to go red.
Oh wait, what?
Yeah.
If you went red, I would literally put you in a 5150.
No.
No.
I
would.
Okay, my best friend, Christine, thinks that it would be great.
Laura, that's
and I
psychotic.
Have an that's not psychotic.
That's psychotic.
That's not. Laura, I have green eyes. Red. My skin tone and eye color would be great for
no,
a red
No, to be
hair.
Red, you need to be pale. You're
no, you
like,
don't.
You're not
there's
pale.
There's variations of red, Ryan.
Laura... I don't know. I'm going to... That would be like... I need a babe intervention on this.
No. I refute it. And I say... And cue intervention music that's... Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And I like go to the salon. Because it's going to happen
like, I just can't get enough. There's like foil in your hair.
No, I'm going to go red. But that requires a lot of money. And I don't have that. So when I do have it, I'll be going red. And you're going to... Okay, you're going to like regret the day that you dissed me for this.
Okay, that's fine.
Mark my words.
Okay, I love that you're just here watching Riverdale and thinking about getting your hair dyed red.
Yeah, I need to be a redhead. Like, need.
Honey, you're already a deadhead. You don't need to be a redhead.
I want to be a redhead deadhead.
No, pump too head. Many heads. Too many heads.
I think red is the future of hair color.
Okay.
There I said it. Fair this is enough. Trend forecasting, and I think red hair is going to be huge, and I want to be the one that, like, leads this trend to the...
I had red hair.
When?
In high school. I dyed... Because I was in the closet, I could only express my sexuality via we have this whole vis-a-vis run in a Will and Grace episode. Spoiler!
You're like, spoiler alert! NBC, what night is it? Thursday.
I don't know, Thursday. No, no, it's
You're
not.
Like, I don't know.
Wait, it's... Anyways. Okay, anyways. So, wait, it's Thursday.
Whatever you say, babe.
It's Thursday. Anyways. So basically, I... What was I saying? Oh, okay, so I couldn't express my sexuality in high school. I was closeted, so I would just do it via my hair.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was every color under the goddamn rainbow. I was, well, first of all, I dyed my hair blonde in middle school.
Oh, I
and
saw
I
that
literally,
picture.
Yeah, and I took, the way I did it is I took a, I took a picture of Little Kim with blonde hair to my hair person. Yeah, make my hair like this. And she was like, I mean, this is Ventura, honey. It's not like I'm here in Swingin' Miracle Mile.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm in fucking Ventura.
I love a picture of Lil' Kim being
my
like, this is my inspiration. Someone who looks nothing like me, who's literally a different race from me. And like, but do this. I know. Make me into this.
I know.
It's aspirational. I like it.
So she did it. I didn't look like little
You
Kim.
Had like frosted tips.
No, no. I was full blonde.
Oh, you were full blonde.
My roots were just in that photo. Okay. Because the upkeep was a bitch.
Yeah, the upkeep is a bitch.
And I looked terrible. And after that, I went from, I was red, I was orange, I was blue a lot. But I would do it, like, at home, like Manic Panic.
Love.
And then the last time my dad
Would you just
hair,
do it by yourself, or would you have...
Oh, I had a friend do it.
You had to
with
have
my hand
do
eye, with my CP hand-eye coordination, I ended up, like, in the ER.
But I didn't know if you, like, had your parents do it, or if
no,
it was, like,
I had,
friend.
Like, my friends do it. Cute. They're like, come over and dye my hair. And then... My last time I dyed my hair was when I broke up with my boyfriend senior year, and I was feeling angsty, and I dyed my hair black, which was basically my same hair color.
Yeah.
So I didn't do anything. So
I did like a semi-permanent red in high school one time, and it only lasted for like 5 washes, but it looked really good.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not trusting you with this red.
Babe, I know myself and my journey, and I'm telling you, when you have green eyes, it's not like... bright red that would be like the kind of there's different shades of red. I think you're thinking that I'm okay. Thinking like Jessica Chastain, like kind of orange red for paler people. Yeah. With thinner like light eyebrows and freckles. That's not the kind of red I'm talking about.
Eve Babbitts, who was like this party girl who paid attention like the 1970s, like 60s, she wrote these amazing books. You've read them.
Yeah.
You guys should all.
They're so good.
She's
a true babe.
Well, she was a babe. She wasn't a babe. She was a
babe. Exclamation.
She was amazing. She just like fucked everyone and wrote amazing stories about life in Los Angeles as a very hot woman.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, she got into this disfiguring accident in 1987 when she was coming home from a party and she was smoking a cigar in the car. And then she ashed on her skirt, and then the skirt went up in flames, and she suffered all these third-degree burns. Anyway, the point of the story is that she has a business card now that says "Better off red than dead," which I think is kind of cute.
That is cute.
Yeah.
So, red and dead is my new MO.
You're a red deadhead.
But I've
I love how that's where my reign goes is a third-degree burn. When you say you want to dye your head.
Okay. I have had like several babe hair moments like in my life.
Really?
Yeah. When I was in, so right.
I've never seen you with bangs, and bangs is the definition of a babe.
Whenever someone cuts, we'll get to it. But like whenever someone cuts bangs, it's truly a cry for help. Yeah. I've cut bangs. I've done bangs before. And it was always like, I had like extremely wispy bangs at one
point.
In like 8th grade.
Oh, okay.
Like
so
I
you're
went,
taking it back.
But I went to like the hair salon, and I remember being like, I want the wispiest wispy bangs. And they were true like wisps of hair. It was a wispy bang.
They whispered too.
Yeah.
They're like little whispers. They're like, if you put in your ear closer, it was like,
yeah. I had the Rachel. I got the Rachel at one point. Yeah. And I would curl it under.
You look like Jennifer Aniston.
Thank you. I would curl it under and then flip it out. And then right before my freshman year of high school, I got so obsessed with Meg Ryan and like thought her hair was like truly goals. Like City of Angels, Meg Ryan hair was.
Yeah, she had great hair.
She had.
They all had great hair in the late 90s. You had to have great hair. It was like the Julia Roberts.
You
had great
hair.
You
have to have great hair.
Yeah.
And Meg Ryan's shag spoke to me on like a spiritual level.
She had amazing hair.
So I took a picture of Meg Ryan into like a Supercuts. And I gave it to just a random and was like, do this to me. And tried to get the Meg Ryan shag, which turned out...
Meg Dian.
Yeah, it was bad. And it was right before my freshman...
You don't say.
It was right before my hair was too thick. And like, obviously, it's like some Supercuts person
also,
that has no idea.
That hair cost her like $1,000.
Yeah, that you don't... Like that was like Sally Hirschberger. That was not like a go in and pay
$10. That wasn't like Marv at the Supercuts.
No,
that was
it
like,
was... So it turned out fluffy... It just was like a short fluff. And then I was a freshman in high school.
Do you have photos of this?
Yeah, I have like one photo.
I love you with the Meg Ryan haircut.
It was truly a null. And then, but a lol in retrospect, as are most things.
Yeah.
And my crush at the time, I was like crushing on this guy, Mark. But over the summer, we
had
like...
Was that the one you wrote poems about?
No, this is a different... I had written about Mark, but I... No, I have a letter that
mark
I wrote
my words,
to Mark.
You'll be mine,
but that's
Mark.
Like a whole other journey. But... I remember he made a joke about me looking like a lesbian.
Well, you
and that
did,
hurt.
You did. You have always wanted to be a lesbian.
I know.
You've always been inspired.
I've always been an aspiring lesbian.
You have.
Yeah. But so my Meg Ryan haircut did not pan out. And then I grew that out. And then in moments of like emotional turmoil, like in one moment of like emotional turmoil, I dyed my hair black.
Oh God.
Which was very like harsh looking.
Yeah. Well, black's always harsh.
Yeah. And then that just grew out naturally. And then I've been in this like blonde journey, but now I'm coming to a crossroads of do I stay on this blonde path, or do I like go back to brunette, like let it grow out and then go to red? I really am feeling like a call to a red journey, even though I will say my numerologist had told me specifically to stay away from the color red.
Wow. Well, then you have to trust Nadi.
I feel like I should just do it anyways. Maybe it's my self-destructive tendency, but
I have been thinking about an overhaul with my look, in the sense of I want new glasses and I want like weird glasses.
You want like again. A statement glass.
Well, the ones I wore. You knew me when I wore Harry Potter glasses, yeah, right?
I love yeah, those. Yeah, I wore That's Harry when Potter. I first met you.
Yeah, I wore Harry Potter glasses for like 5 years. I looked insane.
They were really epic, they were though. They were epic. Everything.
They were everything.
Who made those?
I don't know. I still have them. They're broken. I mean, the frames are trashed, but yes, I wore them.
You need a good pair of glasses. I'm ready for that.
I
you
know.
Have like a statement look that you're kind of trying to establish, which is like your mock turtlenecks.
Yeah, and I think that the mocks are great, and that's where I'm at emotionally, but I think that they need to have some frosting on them, which is going to come in the form of glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my glasses right now are just boring. They're just like, whatever.
They're fine.
They're fine, but they're not going to like reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
So my boss got these Tom Ford like wire-rimmed glasses that look amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they're actually incredible. They're just like big. I told him he looked like Gloria Steinem, which he did not love. To me, that's like the
chic,
highest compliment.
Yeah.
It's so chic. I'm like, you're giving me like 1970s, like Joan Didion and Gloria Steinem, like mm-hmm. intellectual realness.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, but it's true. Like, that looks amazing. I mean, that looks amazing. So
yeah.
I'm in this kind of pickle where like, I want those glasses. Mm-hmm. And I Googled them. And they're great. And,
we'll get them.
I can't though, because that's
copying.
That's Max's glass. Yeah.
Well, you can find your own.
I don't. Yeah. Exactly. So
you have to find your own signature look.
Yeah. So
for me, it's going to be red hair. For you, it'll be.
So I want to go to. So this is kind of stupid, but my hair cutter has always been telling me to go to Gogosha, which is this optique in like Silver Lake, and mm-hmm. there's one in West Hollywood, and it was hilarious because like she was like. I got my hair cut by her, and she goes, oh my God, actually the owner's going to get her hair cut after you. You just need to stay here and wait till she comes. And I was like, okay. So I'm waiting, whatever, whatever. And then like the girl comes, and she clearly was not ready for like a meet this new client. Like it was like, mm-hmm. she was just clearly like, I want to get my fucking hair cut.
Yeah.
So like, so Julie's like, you have to meet with him. You have to give him a new look. Da, da, da. And then she's like, okay. And she's like, I'll text you. And then she like gave me, and she's like, okay, I'm going to text you. And she just never did. So now I'm kind of like, is this awkward? Like, I want to go to Gogosha and I want to get glasses.
Well, just go.
But I'm like, hey, babe. Yeah, I'll
just go.
I want like really big 1970s intellectual Gloria Steinem glasses. That's
love
what I want.
That.
And she was, I told Julie that. And she was like, well, you know that your face, because you have such a high prescription, your face is going to be really magnified. And I was like, yeah, I'm ready for that. So
I support your avant-garde glasses. Journey.
Oh, thank you. Then I guess I support your red hair.
Wow, thanks for being
See?
So supportive.
How we,
this is how
we got
friendship
to this
works.
Is that friendship?
My, I think I need a light prescription of glasses because I find that I squint so much, and like
you do
I
squint.
Think that I'm trying to see. It hit me
Story
that
break.
I'm trying to see that I can't really see, yeah. and I'm trying to.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So
you get glasses.
Yeah. I have a pair of 1970s ones that belong to my mom that I just
Ooh.
Want to take the frames, and they look really good. So you might see me in the new year with redhead and say, who's that redhead with glasses?
It is the new year.
This you might see me this year.
Yes.
And you might say, wow, who is that striking redhead with gorgeous glasses?
All
and
right.
I'll turn and say, it's
I like
me.
It. I like
Marie Shane Halls.
Okay. All right. Well, I always support a look transformation. So.
Me too.
We'll see.
So, anyways.
So, okay. So, in
so
terms of body. So, oh, wait. Also, I want to talk more about hair.
Okay.
So, I have this theory that when a gay guy specifically dyes his hair blonde, it's a cry for help. We have known this historically to be true.
Mm-hmm.
There have been many gay guys that I know that have bleached their hair.
Gone platinum.
And it's a true babe moment. And it's when they're truly babing out. Like, honestly, like if you're bleaching your hair blonde, you're a gay guy, you are not well. I'm saying it on the record.
Wow.
You're not well. And you know it's true. Stop.
I don't know. I disagree.
Are you kidding me?
I always support a bleach blonde.
That is not fucking true, Laura. Let's talk about this. Because you know, there have been people that we both know that have bleached their hair blonde and it's been psychotic.
Well, there are certain people.
Yes.
There's a certain type of hair. No. There's a certain type of haircut, I will say, that some guys have. And when they bleach their hair blonde with this type of haircut, like a long haircut, that's psychotic.
It's psychotic.
I love like a short hair bleach blonde.
If I see a gay guy with bleached blonde hair, I close the door and I lock it and I get my pepper spray out.
Sounds judgy.
Because I know they're going through it and I don't want them to get their babe on me.
Babe, you should bleach your hair blonde.
No, God, stop it.
I think it would look cute.
No, it will not, because I have bushy brown eyebrows and the upkeep is a bitch.
Well, you just do it for 2 weeks and then dye your hair back to your natural color.
It's not that easy. God.
It is.
No, it's not.
How do you know?
It.
You don't know literally anything about hair.
Whatever.
And I know a lot. So I'm telling you it's easy and you should do it.
So I think the two hallmarks of people who are babing out is they bleach. If you're gay, it's bleaching your hair blonde. And if you're a woman, it's getting bangs.
Yeah. Bangs as a woman is a true, that's the ultimate cry for help.
Or like, honey, you just need to talk to someone.
Yeah. Like you need to, if you wake up one day and you're feeling compelled to A, cut your own bangs, or B, seek out someone to cut bangs for you, you need to D, call a therapist and like get
and
it under control. Yeah.
It's not the bangs
you need
that
to
you
like
want.
Go into
it's
the...
not the bangs you want.
Yeah.
It's not the bangs. That's not going to fill the hole.
Yeah.
It's going to make the hole wider.
No, it's going to ruin your life.
It's going to ruin your
and
goddamn
it's going to ruin
life.
Our life because
gonna,
we have to look at you and understand that you're
bangs.
In a fragile place.
There's been someone who got bangs recently on Instagram and they're truly horrific.
They
do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't.
Who? Oh no, I didn't know about that.
They're psychotic. I mean, they look insane.
People, yeah, no. I mean,
and
a bang,
she spent like $1,000 on them.
Yeah.
You know that they're like expensive bangs, but they look truly crazy. Illustrating that you can get bangs at a Supercuts or you can get bangs at Sally Hershberger and they will look psychotic across the board.
Yeah. Bangs are a cry for help.
Yeah. The bangs might as well just leave your body and call 911.
Yeah.
The bangs might as well detach of their own free will and then go to the nearest hospital.
Bangs are the ultimate babe. Like yeah. If someone has freshly banged, they are...
If they freshly
banged and then are posting about it and they're like, guess who's got bangs now? It's like...
Babe. Yeah.
No, it's not even a question. It's just babe.
They've transferred on to babe.
Yeah.
It's past babe.
Yeah.
The question's already been answered.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Because babe is like a check-in. Of like, babe, are you babing out? And a babe is like, I know, you're it's official.
It's
there's
too
no
late.
Confusion.
It's there's too no late. Confusion. It's too late. You've yeah. reached this point. But what can we do now to rehabilitate your babe journey?
Yeah.
And
well,
with
wait,
a bang.
Can you not get rid of bangs, right?
It's no, you grow them out.
Holy shit.
I've had them a few times in my life.
That's
and
crazy.
They always have been a troll, kind of a troll.
But can't you take your bangs and then push them back?
I mean, I guess if you want to wear a headband, but they're like, depending on how much hair you cut into bangs, like it's like a chunk of hair that's short. So it has to kind of grow out and you like maintain it and grow it out.
That's psychotic.
If you want to get bangs, you should just get really long layers that start at the chin and then like just satisfy the urge. Or they have like... fake bangs that you can wear, but I think wearing a fake bang, you're getting into like Dorit territory.
Dorit. Oh yeah. Everyone always tweets at me about Dorit, about her being a babe. And it's like, first of all, that's not a question. She like literally has babe stamped on her fucking forehead. She's crazy.
Yeah.
You don't watch Beverly Hills, so you don't really know what I'm talking
Only
about.
Only every once in a while.
But Dorit is like unhinged. Like she's not well.
Her hair tells the story of a woman who's lost her way.
Do you know what I love about, well, she wears wigs all the time. Yeah. She always has a new wig.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is also not to be trusted.
But she can't like... get it some the no. only wig time I've seen her
was at Vegas
was when she couldn't get the wig under control.
She had like Tina Turner wig.
Yeah, it was
so,
a little much.
What I love about it, like last week on Beverly Hills, Dorit got trashed at this dinner party for Kyle and started like screaming things, and Camille was there. What I love about Camille Grammer is that she was the most despicable piece of shit season one, like truly awful.
Yeah,
truly awful. In fact, I remember one episode where her mom was talking about her chemo treatments and Camille was like, anyways, like literally to her own mom.
Being yeah.
Like, yeah. Anyways. And then Camille got cancer and Camille got divorced. And mm-hmm. so it's like, I feel like she got a huge serving of humble pie. And now she just reemerges as a permanent friend of the housewives.
Yeah.
And she just shows up to everything. Literally, like she's at everything, but she's not a real cast member. And I'm kind of like fascinated by her journey. It's like she shows, she's almost in every episode, but she doesn't do anything. She doesn't say anything. She just shows
that.
Up. Yeah, and I kind of love that. Camille's
a silent
kinda,
accomplice.
Yeah, I kind of love that. But then also, she gets her own interview. She gets her own interview.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, why?
Is she just doing it for free?
I don't... Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Or maybe, like, maybe they think about bringing her back every season, but then they find out that nothing is worth, like, that.
Yeah.
And so then they scrap it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Anyway, it's kind of like the mystery of Camille. Like, what is she still doing on Real Housewives? Why is she on every episode doing nothing? It's kind of confusing to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll unpack that later.
Another hair journey that I wanted to talk about, which is like so trendy right now, is pink hair.
Ew. God. Like the light pink?
Yeah.
Oh, you like it?
I kind of like it.
Oh, my God. I fucking knew it. I knew you were gonna fucking
say
that.
Well, I always like, I'm
You're
always.
You're political.
I'm a little confused.
You're political.
What do you mean?
You're political.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
You are political.
You're fucking
You're political.
Political. You're
Don't
political.
Even start with me. Don't even start with me. Don't even start with me, because I know I could just bring up something that makes you the most political person on this podcast, and I'm not going to, because I'm a friend.
The pink is political.
The pink is not political. I used to think that pink
they
was
have no idea what we're talking
annoying.
About.
Annoying, I know, yeah, and they'll never fine. Know because
they'll never know.
I'm a loyal friend.
Yeah, okay.
And right. I don't want to destroy you.
Same.
So then don't.
Okay, I won't. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Your actions prove otherwise. Making me not trust you.
I just want the reader. I
used
readership.
To think I used to think that pink was like really annoying or like a form of babying, but I think that I actually like it when people do it. Like I think it looks pretty and becoming, and I enjoy it, and it's
like
something
teal.
That I would like to try. Teal
like,
is so
I like
dicey.
I like a mermaid moment. I like a light green. I like turquoise.
I don't
I
love.
Like, I like you looking like you just emerged from like swamp water and
yeah.
just like laid on your like blonde hair.
Pink is like a phase. I feel like it's like as a woman, it's a phase that every woman has to have. Like
Did you
a,
have it?
No, but I'm thinking
would
about
you?
It. I would because now my hair's kind of like grown out. I could just dye the blonde part pink like with semi-permanent.
But Laura.
And just have like a
I
pink
honestly.
Journey.
Would rather you be red for sure.
Just so judgy.
I would. I actually am. I, during the course of this podcast, have gone on a full emotional journey with your red hair.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm fully on board.
You've accepted it?
Yeah. And I think the pink was the final push to get me there.
Well, I might go pink before red.
Oh, God. I think I can... No.
Anyway,
my teeth just start chattering.
I think that every woman needs to experience a pink phase. It's like a rite of passage. It's less of a babe and just more of like a, oh, she's in her pink phase now. And I like it and I support it. And that's okay. where we stand.
Okay.
Let's talk about something else.
Let's talk about our bodies.
Okay.
So
Ryan,
I have gained 10 pounds. And I gained 10 pounds over the course of 5 months, which is actually very easy to do. Now, it's been a journey for me because...
I actually, like, can't.
No, I know. She gets triggered by this.
Is, like,
she does. But yeah, I want to talk about it, though.
Just talk about it, and then I'm going
to
troll you
I need
because
to get,
you actually deserve
I need
to
get
be
this
trolled for this.
Weight lifted off my shoulders.
Body Ryan has body dysmorphic disorder.
No, I don't.
He does.
My 10 pounds that I gained is very real, and it shows in my face and my belly, and it's true. And that's what it is. And... When I go into a writer's room, I have no control over, like, here's the deal. Like when I am not faced with, I can control my, when I'm not in a writer's room, I eat pretty good and I'm very chill. When I'm in a writer's room and I'm surrounded by things like Milano's, like it's the most insane shit. It's like Hershey's, it's like disgusting garbage, but it's like, if it's there, I will eat it. And I feel so shameful because I literally see my coworkers just like whenever the lunchtime comes around, we have this like buffet style and everyone just like takes like salad, some vegetables. And I'm always like, yum, macaroni and cheese.
I don't understand how you eat that in the middle of the day.
I don't know either.
And you don't fall asleep afterwards?
No.
That's insane.
It's like my normal.
If I eat like some heavy, like lunch like that, I will literally pass out within 30 minutes afterwards.
I know. Well, so then it's that coupled with the fact that I was like probably drinking a lot of wine and just like I gained 10 pounds and it just like feels shitty. I just like feel like everything fits tighter. Like everything just kind of like does not fit me the way that I want.
So go on a
diet. My jawline is like kind of disappearing and it just like bums me out. I know, of course. And I am like, we're doing dry January and it's like great. Whatever.
Are you going to tell the viewers what you said to me earlier?
Yeah, I will. Because okay. This is an open space.
Mm-hmm.
I might drink tonight because our friend Carly's in town.
So are you doing dry January?
Yeah, I don't know. I am.
You're not doing dry January.
Yeah, I am. I am. I can get wet one night.
That's not dry January.
Yeah, well.
That's just like a classic Ryan O'Connell. I'm sober and it feels amazing and my skin has never looked better and I feel so good. And then literally within 7 to 11 days. It ends. I know.
Well, I don't know. No, stop it. If I drink tonight, it's not like I'm going like back.
Well,
to
you're
drinking.
Not doing dry January.
I think you can still say you're doing dry January if you get wet once.
This
time.
Is
you get wet
Sheena
once.
Levels of delusion.
But also, like, I'm sorry. Like, we're meeting our friend Carly for dinner. Carly's amazing, by the way. She has this like Viceland show, Slut Ever, that's coming out, and her book. You should buy it. And Carly is like a true lawler.
Mm-hmm.
She's a true lawler. Like, you guys should. Do a deep dive on her because she's a dream.
Yeah.
And she's also fun to get trashed with. What? Ew, stop. Ew, it's like searing into me.
No, because I just, you know, every trigger button to push and you're pushing my buttons.
What do you
today.
Mean? Why? What do you mean?
The 10 pounds. I can't.
But it's real, Laura. Like,
but
why can't that be real?
That is real.
Why can't I feel bummed that I went two sizes up. Two sizes.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not a joke.
Well, I just think you're probably gaining a lot of muscle.
No, I'm gaining. It's a combination, but definitely I'm gaining fat because my stomach is it's like a wine cellar at this point. You know what I mean? It's but it's fine. I'm taking care of biz and like whatever. It's fine. I know that when we wrap, I'll be fine and lose the weight. I also have to be on camera, and you know this for special. What?
Pray for Ryan.
So do you. You have to be on fucking camera because you're going to be in it with me. And I'm going to have to do nude scenes, which I wrote for myself. I'm telling you is that I've gained 10 pounds. I have back knee. I'm not in the place.
And you're terrified.
I'm honestly terrified for my fucking life. Honestly, it's like
literally pray for Ryan.
I mean, I might be
how
the first,
will you get through this?
I might be the first gay guy with CP on television, but also the first gay guy with CP with bacne, which I think is truly a troll.
Bacne is a troll.
That is like the people like CP, who cares? Get out of here. They'll be like, bacne, oh my god, hideous. You know?
No, yeah.
It's a troll. And it's real right
troll.
Now.
Yeah.
It's real. I'm getting like, but I'm using these glycolic pads every day and it's like getting better. So anyway, I'm just telling you that I don't feel totally comfy in my bod.
You don't feel sexy right now.
I don't feel totally sexy and I like feeling sexy. I like feeling good.
Yeah.
You know, I like putting on my, you know, blue jeans and white tee and like giving a River Phoenix moment, Stand By Me.
Yeah.
Just like loving myself. Mm-hmm. I think that's totally a fair thing to say.
That is a fair thing to say.
And I think that when you do gain 10 pounds, it does feel like a troll. And I think it happens to like a lot of people and... You know, I'm going to lose it. I know I will, but it's just a bummer. I just like wish that I felt better.
Maybe I'm getting so defensive right
now. What the fuck?
Because I too have gained 10 pounds probably. Yeah.
You don't weigh yourself.
I don't weigh myself, but I know.
You don't look like it. You've never looked. Since I've known you, the only thing I've noticed about your body is when you're working out. Because then you get like really like your ass gets into like an insane place.
Mm-hmm.
But I think your ass is still insane.
Oh my god, my ass has gotten really flat because I haven't worked out really in 2 months, and it's like, but it looks different. And so my journey, I guess, is like I'm in the same boat as you, where but instead of just sitting and having a job and working in the writer's room and eating, I just have stopped working out because I was like paying for like class pass and then
that's
ran
expensive.
Like I couldn't afford to pay for that, but I also hate a gym moment.
Yeah,
like I don't like the gym, and so I've been
think,
in this
I don't
weird
think you should join a gym because I don't think you're gonna go.
No, I won't go
if you don't like
so
gyms,
that's my big
like
catch 22 is I'm like, what do I do? And so instead of doing anything, I've opted to just stop doing anything, which is not working. So I have to get back to like my fitness journey.
Honey, why don't you do like, I mean, this is like basic, but why don't you do like Runyon? Why don't you go on hikes?
No, it's so dusty and like...
Laura, come on. You go on fucking hikes.
Babe, no, I'm not
you
doing
do go
that.
On hikes.
I've gone on like 3 hikes in the past year and a half.
But like, that's a way to stay fit.
I know, but that's like Ubering to Runyon every day. I'm not going to Uber to and from Runyon every day. Okay. And Runyon makes me want to die.
Well, yeah, but you could do
it's a true Vanderpump.
No, I know.
It's the Vanderpump garbage. Mountain.
It's garbage. Like, run for your life on Runyon.
I appreciate that suggestion, but also fuck you.
Well, I just feel like it's LA. There are a lot of things that you can work out for free.
Well, you know what? I'm figuring out my workout journey, and it might be joining ClassPass again, or it might be joining like at just one fitness studio, but we'll see. I need a class. I need.
You should.
The thing is, I need, when it comes to working out, I need someone to scream at me, tell me what to do, shame me into doing it, and like push me to my absolute limit, because I just need like a Sherpa. A workout.
See, I'm sure scared of that. And what I want to do is I want to conquer my disability fears and go to a group class like SoulCycle, but I'm just scared of my body. I'm just scared of like, which is hilarious because I'm always really bad at doing something the first time, like everybody else, yeah. But I'm bad at it in a different way because of my disability. So yeah. It's like, I need to feel empowered and safe in a one-on-one environment before I can proceed in a group environment, because my anxiety will just be too big to like go to a place like SoulCycle and like be like, oh, like what is this? Like, I just
well,
think,
can't you start? Like, I can do one-on-one. You just start one-on-one with
I
your
could.
Trainer. Like,
well,
just,
not SoulCycle.
Well, but
I want to do work. I want to do group workout classes. I want to do that.
Yeah. But you could start and have your trainer show you how to do all the machines,
yes.
So that you already have an idea of what it's going to feel like and be like before you go into a class. So you're not just going in blind and being like, ah!
Yeah.
Because it's intimidating to go into
classes. It is, especially if you have fucking cerebral palsy.
It gets really intimidating, but then the best thing about classes too, in my opinion, is that when you are in a really good workout class and you're like in your zone, you realize that everyone's in their own zone and no one's paying attention to you or cares what you do.
I've never done it.
And that's like the most freeing thing, because you're just in your fucking fitness zone, like sweating and feeling really good and strong. And I miss sweating. And it also is like, for mental health reasons,
oh,
like
please.
I have
it's
to get
everything.
Back to working out, because it really changes your brain chemistry and like,
oh, I need it.
And I need it. And so I've been really lacking in that in the past 2 months, which has been ultimate. I mean, if I wasn't on antidepressants, I would have, I mean, like say goodbye, but like, so it's just, I need to figure that out, but it's a journey. But I wonder though, like, I feel like being like really critical of your body is becoming very unchic now.
It is, because we're all
but
about
it
body
also
acceptance.
Is a
and
thing.
I am, but I generally do like my body. I
like,
do.
I like, feel annoyed by us having this conversation.
Why? I think it's very real. I think
it's real,
I know,
but
well,
I'm like,
why?
Because
they come across as shallow?
I guess.
I think it's very, listen, I understand all those things. I really do. But I think it's very fair to be like, I've gained some weight. It makes me feel crappy. It's gonna, but like, I also am not saying this from a place of defeat. I know I'll change it. Like, I know that, like, it'll be fine and, like, whatever. But, like, but yeah, like, it sucks. And, like, my relationship with my body is, I would say, overall, very good. Like, I love my legs. I love my butt. Like I genuinely, like, love lots of parts of my body. But
yeah.
I like when I'm a certain weight and when I feel a certain way and things kind of fit a certain way. And when they don't, and when things are tight. And they don't look like clothes don't hang on my body the same way that they did.
Yeah. That
it
makes me feel bad.
Yeah, it makes me feel bad. And I think that's like, I mean, it's not like I'm going into depression about it. Again, like, I have been working out for 3 years. My weight has gone oscillated between 10 pounds for the last 3 years. And it's fine. It always kind of comes back down to where it needs to be. And I know that, but I'm just saying, like, right now in this moment, like, I wish that I was 10 pounds lighter.
Yeah.
Well, you know? What?
You can achieve that goal. It's the good news.
No, I know. Jonathan's working out now.
I know.
That helps a lot.
Yeah.
It helps a lot to have a partner who, like, also works out and takes care of themselves and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And for me, like, with the classes, I just make everyone in the class my partner. And so I just look forward to, like,
what
being around people in that way. Like, I just make them, like, when you do, well, for me, when I've done ClassPass, it's like, I have my studios that I know are really, really good, that I can, like, find, that I know, like, which teachers are awesome and which classes will be awesome, and I know that there's certain people.
How much is ClassPass?
They have different tiers.
Okay.
ClassPass also pulled, no, but they pulled the craziest troll of all time in 2016.
Oh, and I think I know this.
If anyone was on ClassPass and like endured this troll, like my heart goes out to you. So when I joined ClassPass, it was $99 a month for unlimited workout classes. So you could pay,
that's great.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It was insane.
That is like an insane deal
like
that you're like,
highway
what?
Robbery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it was like, I felt like I was getting away with murder every right. month, but it was the best. So you could visit any studio up to 3 times, but where we live, it's like, you can't swing your dick without like hitting a workout studio. Like right. they're literally everywhere. And so I was just like living, laughing, loving workout classes.
Yeah.
Then they increased the price and they bumped it up to like $115. And yeah, I was like, you know what? Whatever. That's fine. It's still really cheap. Like, let's do this. Then they bumped it up to like $165 or something. And I was like, well, you know what? That's still cheaper. So like, yeah, I'll take it. Just like, don't take away my unlimited monthly classes right. because this is what I live for. Then right before the election in the year of our troll, 2016, the founder of ClassPass just eradicated monthly unlimited as an option for ClassPass users and said you can either pay $100 a month for 10 classes.
That's fucking crazy.
And then buy more packages. So she just got, basically everyone got hooked on ClassPass because it's truly the best thing ever. And she sucked everyone in and then baited and switched and said a whole different business model, which I understand.
I get it.
ClassPass,
but
like,
fucked.
How could that app have made money
it's
off of that?
It's not right.
But it was but not
it's
right.
Okay. Yeah.
And the day that that happened, it reverberated through the ClassPass community in outrage that I've never seen. Like,
really?
There was truly, when that news hit, I went through on Twitter to look through everyone's response to this ClassPass.
Right.
And it was like mostly just like outraged white women and like women in like New York and like, and it was like the outrage levels were so high. Every single tweet about it was pissed. There was wow. not one person that was like, this is great. I love this. Like, go ClassPass. Do what you need to do. It was like, it was pure outrage. And I felt that. I was like, I felt truly betrayed by the ClassPass troll of 2016. And I actually need justice for this. And I need readers to tell us. I need the readers
I'm
to
sure
write
the readers
in.
I have to
I need ClassPass. I need commiseration on this ClassPass troll because it really changed everything. And then now it's gotten to a point. So if you want to get like probably the most classes I can do in a month is 20. It's like working out like 5 times a week.
Oh, so, that's good.
Which is a good number. But in order to get those classes, it costs about $215.
That's
a month.
Not a good deal.
And so that's not a good. I mean, you're basically you're paying a little more than you'd pay for a monthly unlimited at a boutique fitness studio.
Right.
But the perk is that you can go to all these different places. So now
actually,
it's, like,
it's kind of priced TBH like the way it should
like
be.
Fairly you know, priced.
Like the way it should.
But it's not fair for people that were there from the beginning that champion the brand and have been loyal, like me, who literally, like I lived and died by ClassPass and then ClassPass fucked me.
Oh,
and it was
sorry.
Really, it was awful. It was truly traumatizing.
Yeah.
And now I'm like left in the ocean without a life raft.
I mean,
so I have to figure it out.
Sorry.
But yeah, the ClassPass troll.
I hate seeing you like this.
It was awful.
I'm sorry. Okay, we should talk about, because we have to get to emails, but we have to get to like stuff. We have to get to like our babes of the week.
So.
Well, there's I want to talk about, before we get into our babes of the week, there's some topical stuff I want to talk about. Okay. Number one, Michelle Williams, Mark Wahlberg.
Mm-hmm.
The pay gap of the reshoots. I think it's psychotic. I think Mark Wahlberg is an asshole. I've thought Mark Wahlberg is an asshole for like the moment I've heard about him because he like almost killed a gay person when he was like Marky Mark. Do you
really?
Remember that? Yeah.
No.
Yeah. He did some gnarly shit when he was like in his like when he was in Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Yeah.
And he just also is like, I think he's like a very deeply religious, like homophobe. Like he literally came out, he was like, I hope Jesus can forgive me for Boogie Nights. And I was like, honey,
calm
down. He also, was he in that movie, The Other Guys or no?
I don't know.
No, not The Other Guys. What was, oh God, that horrible one, The Nice Guy with,
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe. He was not in that, but The Nice Guy was horrific because it literally opened up with a porn star dying in a car crash and she was topless for no reason. And it was like sexy. It was like her sexy dead body.
Yeah, I never watched that movie, but sick. I remember you were really pissed about it.
It was really gross. He just donated his money to Time's Up, his whole salary, which I think is good, but I just think it's crazy. I think it's actually crazy that, I'm actually at WME, which is their agency. I think it's crazy that WME didn't say anything to Michelle. Because I'm sure Michelle had no idea.
Yeah, I have no idea.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know any of the ins and outs of how that process works. Well, I can only imagine that someone tells their agent whatever it takes, I'll do.
Yeah, well, that was Michelle, and then Mark Wahlberg. It's just so indicative of, I think, of the gender, where it's just the male is entitled and feels no qualms being I want to get paid $1.5 million for the reshoots, and then Michelle Williams is I'm a team player, pay me per diem, I don't care.
Yeah,
and I feel as a woman, it's you're much less inclined to speak up because you don't. You're scared and you feel you're not going to get what you want.
Yeah.
Because obviously the way historically it has worked is that men have always gotten paid more than women.
Yeah.
And it just it just really to me is emblematic of the entitlement. You know what I mean? Of and not being afraid to ask for it. Mm-hmm. And I feel I wish that Michelle was in a place or what women were in general where they could just be I want $1.5 fucking million dollars for this reshoot.
Yeah.
You know?
But I mean, it's also also a tough line because I'm sure after all the Kevin Spacey stuff, there was a chance that movie might have just gotten shelved.
But also to me, it's they should have all been paid, period. Kevin Spacey being a fucking freak on a leash
They would get paid.
It's not their problem.
Way, but
they weren't really getting paid. They were getting paid per diem, which is $1,000 a day.
For the shoot?
Yeah.
The original shoot?
No. For the reshoots.
Well, yeah, but they already got paid for I'm sure they...
Yeah, but they had to reshoot
No, I know. But I mean, they'd already gotten a paycheck. It's not after that, once a thing Kevin Spacey happens and they have to reshoot an entire character's scenes, I'm sure there's a version of we only have this much budget. And so if people don't agree to do this for less money.
And you don't want to be the reason why it falls apart.
Yeah.
But you realize though, through the Mark Wahlberg thing, is that there's always money. There's always money. There always is.
Yeah.
There's always a way to get paid.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, they won't shelve it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they paid for Mark Wahlberg $1.5 million.
I know, but maybe they said, we don't know the ins and outs of, the budget journey. So yeah, it's maybe they're we have $2 million, so we can pay, so-and-so this much, and then the rest is for the production. Right,
but that's not fair. It's not fair for Mark Wahlberg to get paid $1.5 million.
No, Mark Wahlberg fucking sucks.
He sucks.
Yeah. He's literally...
Michelle's an angel.
Every, American tragedy that happens.
Oh, I know.
Mark Wahlberg makes a movie about it and stars in it.
I know. Every single one, he's oh, great. There's another. Oh, okay, cool. I have a job then.
Yeah. It's literally you're just capitalizing off of things that are terrible.
It always makes me sad when you see actresses that have gone from being movie stars to just transitioning to the nothing parts of the girlfriend in those big movies. Mm-hmm. Kate Hudson was in Deepwater Horizon.
Oh my God. That movie was literal propaganda.
Yeah, it was.
That movie was paid for by
the
oil industry.
And truly
I was excuse me?
No, I know. And it's really sad because Kate Hudson used to be a huge leading lady, a rom-com superstar.
Now she's just housewife on FaceTime.
Literally being hey, be safe out there, honey. I miss you. And it's the bed scene of them being oh, I love you, blowing raspberries on each other's stomachs.
Mm-hmm.
And then just being all right. see you later. Oh no, he's,
and then like the phone cutting out and her being like with the kids being like, I don't know what to do, and like, and then it's just like she's sad.
Adam Sandler starred in this horrible movie. I mean, everything he stars in is horrible now, but he started this horrible movie like Jack and Jill or something like
oh
that,
I never saw
where
that.
he played
twins
and like
a woman and a man twin.
It was horrific. Would not be done today. Maybe it would. I don't know.
I think it was like it done would. Like 3 years
yeah.
ago.
But Katie Holmes played his wife, like the nagging wife. And I was just like, oh, all right, there's Katie. But Katie Holmes like sucks.
Yeah. I mean, Katie Holmes really.
Has
we
never
thought
been.
That she was going to enter like Babe territory no. with Pieces of April. But then she
oh,
never
I loved
did
Pieces
anything.
Of April.
Well, yeah.
I loved
no,
it.
I know. I loved
she
it
had,
too.
She had really good taste in picking movies is what she did. Because she was in Go. She was in Pieces of April. She was in Wonder Boys. She was really good at picking, The Gift she was really good in with Cate Blanchett. She was really good at picking non-demanding roles in good movies.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I think
but
that
she was good in Pieces of April.
I never bought her as that character.
Oh, I did.
I never
I thought
bought
it was
her.
Edgy and I was like,
I
whoa.
Never bought her as that. I never like, was like, no, it's Katie Holmes. Katie Holmes is always playing Katie fucking Holmes. Like mm-hmm. she's always like Joey Potter. Like she's always like, mm? Like there's no edge. To Katie Holmes, ever. Like, remember when she was in Disturbing Behavior?
I love that movie.
And it's literally, like, her, like, it opens on her literally dancing on top of a truck to, like, mm-hmm. heavy metal.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, Rachel.
Katie's
and then,
punk.
And then you think that she's going to be edgy because she's just, and then literally she's like, oh, hey. Like,
I need
like,
to rewatch that movie.
Cheery-eyed and normal. Like, literally you think she's going to be, like, literally going to be like, but she's just like, oh, hey, guys, what's up? How's school going? I don't know. She's like, she's no, there's no edge. It's all whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. I think she had a moment where she could have.
I know, but she
subscribed
just. But she's
edge.
Not a good actress. I think
but she canceled that subscription when she got married to Tom Cruise.
Is Suri like 18 now?
Yeah. Suri's 35.
Is Suri and are Surly and Surly. Sorry. Are Suri.
Your Siri just went off on your phone because it thought that you were.
Oh my
asking
God, that's
a
hilarious.
Question.
Oh my God, technology.
I
really
like
does
the
work.
Name Surly.
Are Surly and Shiloh dating? They should. It's all about Brangelina's daughter or son. Shiloh
Jolie Pitt is
everything. Shiloh's gonna be a babe.
Yeah.
Just wait.
A
but
babe.
Also she could be a babe.
She's a question. She's an exclamation point babe.
She is.
For me. Always has been.
Yeah, she's cool.
She's a fucking trailblazer.
I like her.
Yeah.
How old is she? Like 12?
No. She's like.
You know that Michelle Williams, Matilda's 12.
Really?
Isn't that mind blowing?
That's wild.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
It's been a long time.
Fucking crazy. I know. Heath.
It's weird that it's literally 2018 and I remember like I keep thinking it's like 2010 or 11.
I know. Oh.
Anyways.
Okay, so our babes of the week. There's two for me. Sky Ferreira is back.
Mm-hmm.
She's releasing an EP and the rollout she's having for this EP is hilarious because it's just her like making dramatic Instagram posts being like, my music is almost here. 2 months. No, she'll be like, within the 60 days, I'll be dropping something. It's not my album, but it's an EP and it's highly visual.
And then she's like doing a photo. It's like she releases like a photo shoot.
Honey,
time.
She literally released a photo being like, this is the first photo. And it's like, bitch, you already did this with Playboy. Her whole Playboy thing was, this is the first phase of masochism, which is her second album.
Okay.
That, like that TBD if it'll ever come out.
But
she's like, this is the first taste of masochism. We're entering a new era. And I'm like, what do you mean? It's you just wearing bunny ears and like being topless. Like, what are you talking about? Like the drama behind it, like trying to make it like, this is the new taste of my album. Album? There's no fucking music. It's just photos of you. You can't say that. You can't be like, this is the new era and just post a photo. Like it's something real, like it's something real to offer. Like
yeah.
Release some music, honey, for God's sakes. Like the drama behind everything with her, she's so lit.
Yeah, she's extremely lit.
And like she
wait,
like
when was that Playboy?
Like 2 years ago.
Yeah, so she,
honey, she moves at glacial
album,
pace.
Yeah, the second album has been like,
it's not even the second album, she's releasing an EP. She's releasing an EP that she's been talking about for the last year and it keeps on being like 60 days 60 days. And
I
like,
resonate with Sky's journey because I too have creative projects I've worked on for so fucking long and like can't get it together. So in that sense, I'm an ally.
Yeah, you are.
A sky
ally. You understand.
I understand. But I also am like, hurry up to her and myself. So.
Okay, so the second babe is a babe that we haven't talked about. Emma Roberts, who I think is a total babe.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal with Emma Roberts before we get into her. Well, she got bangs. And have you guys seen this? She looks insane. She looks like.
The bangs aren't my favorite.
They're terrifying.
But I also thought maybe they're clip-on bangs.
Honey, I don't know what they are.
They look kind of.
But I need them to go away.
They look kind of fake. And I was like, maybe that's just like a clip-on.
I hope and pray for her sake that it is. Here's the thing with Emma Roberts. Emma Roberts, to me, is sort of a genius because, well, first of all, I like love her as an actress. I think she's fucking like, so actually I think she's crazy talented.
She's really talented. She's stunning.
Yeah. And I'm here for her. Yeah. I actually am. But what I love about her is that she, like every true millennial, knows how to curate her fucking brand like an expert. Because if you go on her Instagram, all she does is eat donuts and read books. Now, the book part might be true. Who knows? You know? But the donuts part, not true. And, like, she is a party girl. She's, like, an in-the-closet party girl. Like, people don't remember that she viciously attacked her boyfriend in Coked Out Rage in Canada. Like, people just forget. People forget that there's, like, paparazzi videos of her, like, sobbing after fights with her boyfriend. There's, like, she's, like, out and about, like, photographed, like, getting drunk. But, like, it's, like, she just kind of, like, pushes them under the rug. I love it. I mean, I'm here for it. But, like, Emma is lit. She's, like, secret. She's, like, a secret babe. She is a truly secret babe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I just love that Instagram, like, you can really, like, make your own journey.
Yeah.
But the reality.
Mm-mm. Ryan knows.
I know the truth. I have Emma's number. But I like her.
Well,
but
I love
anyway,
her.
I think the bangs
and
is
Emma,
confusing.
If you're listening, I'm on team Emma.
Well, you know Emma.
Yeah. So I'm not going to comment on my friend. On my dear friend.
Yeah, well,
Emma.
I like her. I'm saying this all with
really,
love.
Really? Because you're attacking
I'm
her
saying
character.
This all with love. Like, I'm like, honey, like, you did a good job.
You're defaming
like,
her.
She does a good thing. Good job keeping things under wraps.
She keeps her shit together.
She keeps her shit together. She, like,
she has her shit together.
She has
that's
her shit together.
Thing.
I know.
Like, I think that she's found, like, a really happy medium of, like, I think she does what she needs to do, but then keeps her shit together, which is the mark of like a true babe exclamation point. Because
yes.
Like, because
she babes out in a very,
she babes out and doesn't get messy about it. And
no.
Doesn't.
Well, sometimes,
but I mean, not in
assault,
a way,
notwithstanding.
Well, yeah, I guess that's like not the least messy way you could handle that situation, but bounces back and it's kind of like a blip on the radar. So she's figured out how to live her truest babe moments without making that her
she's also
identity.
I have to say, she seems anorexic, but she has again turned that anorexia into health and wellness and a brilliant marketing move. She was on the cover of Shape.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all about her just being like, well, this is what I do to keep healthy. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, Pilates.
And you're literally like, you're real thin.
But she's also like just tiny as like in stature.
Is she?
Yeah. She's like 5'3" or something.
She's thin.
Well, spoken like a jealous housewife that just gained 10 pounds.
Fair enough. So anyway, Emma, I love you. Keep doing what you're doing. You're a babe, but you're also a babe.
Yeah. You're a babe. You're a babe on the streets.
Wait.
You're
she's a babe on the streets and a babe at her house. In private with the lights down low. With her friends. With no paparazzi.
Ugh, love and light.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about, wait, what's your babe of the week?
I don't even know.
Oh, all right.
I don't really have a babe of the week.
Well, there was two on mine, so it's fine.
Yeah, I guess you're just covering the babe of the week. Because I truly am like, who's my babe of the week? And I can't really think of anything.
All right. That must mean it's you. When you can't think of a babe, it's usually you.
No, I've been like not so babe this
week. No, I know. You've not been babe. It's true.
I don't know. I have to think about that. Maybe I'll find.
So we got emails.
We got a lot of emails this week and I'm excited about reading them. We got some, is it babe too?
Okay.
So let's go through these first.
Okay.
Molly writes us, is it babe to have a crush on a 58-year-old? I'm 27. And should I make a move?
I don't think it's weird at all. I love older men. And I love my dad, too, so I don't have daddy issues at all. Like, if anything, I have mommy issues.
Yeah.
But, like, daddy issues I don't have. I am so into older men.
So 27 to 58.
I would fuck a 58-year-old for sure. And I'm 31. But it's also different, I guess. Never mind.
What?
I was going to say it's different if you're a guy, but it's, I mean, maybe I'm that's so gendered and maybe not true.
Yeah. I mean, here's the deal. I think that there's such thing as like totally hot older men. And I'm a huge like fan of a hot older man. When you make a move, things, you like give up certain elements of dating, and that when you date older men, I find that you really wouldn't be confronted with in a relationship with a younger man.
What do
like
you mean?
He might need like a breathing machine at night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's just certain men. I assume that if this guy's 58 and she wants to fuck him, that he's like a Dennis Quaid 58. And
yeah,
not
but babe,
like, and
you
not
can
like
be
a
Dennis
Quaid.
You can be a Dennis Quaid 58 and still have like sleep apnea and still require.
But if you're a Dennis Quaid 58 and not a Randy Quaid 58, that means you still look like Dennis Quaid.
Well, yeah, you can look good, but you can still, you're almost 60 years old. You're like kind of an old person.
I would fuck Dennis Quaid with a breathing machine on.
Yeah.
Like, I would literally fuck him while
I'm not saying I wouldn't fuck. Like, I've fucked people that have had to use breathing machines at night. But I'm just saying, it's like, when you're dating older men, you realize, like,
it's a different, they have
a whole
things.
Different, they have a whole different journey.
Well, it's a, yeah, but it's better than dating 27-year-old men. I'd rather.
I would say 58 is definitely a step above 27.
Yeah. So I think it's great, and she should make a move.
Yeah, definitely.
And she should
make
report
a move
back.
And report, please report back.
I also
kind of
want a pic.
What?
I want to get
it. Oh, yeah. Send a pic.
Send a pic.
Report back. Make a move.
Yeah.
You got this.
Yeah.
Okay. And let us know if he wears a breathing machine.
And again, not a deal breaker.
Not a deal breaker.
Not a deal breaker.
Not a it's not a deal breaker. It's just an interesting thing.
It's a development.
You're just like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I've reached the point in my life where like, I'm going to date someone, they might have to wear a breathing machine when they sleep.
Yeah.
That's just
That's not life. Every guy though, Laura.
I don't. Babe, when did I say that was every guy? Literally never. I'm just saying.
So true.
That some guys, like some guys wear breathing machines.
Fair enough.
When you age and start dating older people, things happen.
I would love for you to date a 58-year-old.
Like a 58-year-old?
Yeah, a hot one.
I mean, maybe, but they have to be. Another thing about old guys, which I will say too,
what?
Is that you can be really into them, but the older the guy, the more set in their ways they are.
That's
so, like,
true.
You
that's
can meet
really
a guy
true.
That's really
it's
got to
be a just
older.
Out of water kind of relationship because you can't get them to change. You
yeah, you're never fit. Like they need to be like well adjusted and have their shit together. And I kind of tend to assume that any 58-year-old man
that's
who's
single.
Like sexy and single uh-huh. is.
Not.
Highly damaged.
I think you're right. Okay.
So tread with caution. Know that you might be getting into a situation that you won't love and then just be able to get out of it if it doesn't suit you.
And also just talk to us.
Yeah, and tell us everything because I'm really invested in this. Okay. From Justin. Hi, Ryan and Laura. Devoted viewer here. I just listened to both of the new podcasts for 2018, which were truly great, but also a bit of a low-grade troll. I say this because I listened to them while working late on a rendering. I'm in grad school for costume design and
oh,
then
nice.
Maniacally cleaning my apartment while drinking too much wine at 3 a.m. Lols. It's 3:10 and I'm writing this. I might be babying out. Hearing you guys discuss your anxiety and depression made me realize I've been avoiding my own troubles. I've been in a funk since before the holidays and I'm trying to identify the source of the issue. One of the big recent changes in my life is that I moved to a new city for grad school and got my own apartment. As a 22-year-old virgin with an apartment all to myself, I decided it was time to get a dick in my ass, as Ryan would say.
Aww.
So I made the decision to do it with this grinder guy from New Zealand named Jono.
I love
and
that.
And he said, lol, babe.
Oh, that's funny.
Then I did it again the next day with a Spanish lit PhD named Nathan, who literally read a passage from this book that he's been translating to me after we fucked.
Wait, hold on. He went from being a virgin to getting fucked twice.
Yeah.
Like, 2 days. That's great.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Needless to say, I thought I was a sex god, so I thought I was falling in love with Nathan for about 3 weeks. Then he weirdly asked to define the relationship, cried, and said he couldn't be in a long-term thing with me. It was probably my fault for coming on too strong. Anyways, after being single for 22 years, I was like, this is no big deal. Breakups happen. I'm not going to be annoying about it. So I repressed all my feelings about it. Cut to 3 months later, I'm sitting on my apartment floor writing to a podcast at 3 a.m. Help.
Aww, okay.
Okay, you're babying.
He's babying out, but that's
okay. But it's okay. That's a natural babe.
That's the first step to recovery, being in recovery from being a babe, mm-hmm. is to admit that you're being a babe. Honesty will get you a lot of places.
Yeah.
I would say for him, if repression is his thing, I would not drink. To me, I drink more when I'm feeling anxious. Okay, so this is the way I think about it. I drink more when I'm anxious because I want to quell the anxiety. And I also have anxiety about like falling asleep sometimes. And I'll just drink to like fall asleep easier. But the reality is that the sleep you have is truly terrible. To me, it's like when you drink because you're anxious, it's almost like you're charging it on a credit card and you're going to have to pay it off later. So it feels good in the moment. But honey, you're like that debt collector is going to call mm-hmm. and you're going to have to pay up in a real way. Mm-hmm. So it's like putting a Band-Aid over a huge, large wound. So I would say in this moment to not drink so much wine and to go to therapy.
Yeah. Go to therapy, or if you can't afford therapy, a good option is like doing free writing journal. Like tell yourself right when you wake up in the morning, you're going to journal like 2 pages a day.
Yeah.
And see, and just don't judge any of the words that you write. Just like free write to get all your thoughts out. And for me, that's like something I started before therapy that showed me that I really needed to go to therapy. And so that's like, but it was a way to also see, like mentally check in with myself and be like, what's going on? What am I dealing with? What are my feelings about XYZ? And like what, and it helped me figure out the next step and the next direction.
But also don't hold in your emotions. Like if you feel something, say something.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you hold in your emotions, it's like holding in a giant fart. Mm-hmm. Like it's like not fun.
Yeah.
So,
and then your body just absorbs the fart,
which is not good. And then it like gets into like weird territory.
Yeah.
Like affects other areas of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So
but congrats on deflowering yourself.
Honestly, like, the fact that he did that was really great. That's like a great step. Mm-hmm. So welcome to the, he got rid of that one troll. And
like, hello from the other side. Right?
I know. So good for him.
Yeah. You're going to be fine.
Where does he live?
He didn't say.
All right.
And then I think we have one more. Okay. Jacob writes us.
Okay.
He says, hey, babes, this last episode checked all the boxes for me. Dramatic, supposedly fun thing I'll never do again-esque reactions to Key West and its subpar drag queens? Check. Berating your family over the holidays because they did the unspeakable? Check. But the thing I wanted to tell you about specifically is a truly hashtag dark babe out I had surrounding the election. When he who must not be named was elected back in 2016, the golden days of past folly and lolly, I was away at college for 4 hours from home. My parents, longtime Republicans, but truly lovely and caring people who welcomed my coming out with open arms, couldn't bite the bullet and pull the lever for HRC. In a fit of babe, I told my mom that I was going to kill myself, since clearly that's what she wanted based on her vote, and then proceeded to let her think I had done it for 4 days before contacting her. Hindsight, it might have been a bit dramatic, but I was grasping for some sort of control. I still stand by the decision. What do you think?
No.
Babe?
Yeah. It's also not... No, it's a babe. It's past question mark. It is a babe. I want to know more, by the way. How did she think for 4 days that her son was dead? Did he... Like, how was he not...
But he just like, I'm killing myself, and then just... Didn't talk to her for 4 days.
But wouldn't she call the police? Like, wouldn't she call the police? I'm confused. Like,
this is actually
I need to know more info because I'm actually like, really, how can you fake your own death for 4 days? That's my question.
This is a babe ellipses. Like, this is he's created a new tier. Yeah. Congratulations, Jacob. You created a new tier of babe, which is just babe dot dot dot.
Yeah. It's a dot dot dot.
It's a dot dot dot. I mean, I love it. I live for like, I mean, I live for like a I'm going to kill myself moment, a threat to other people to get back at them, because it's truly a psychotic thought to think that you're going to hurt somebody by killing yourself.
Yeah, I know,
threatening
right?
to kill yourself.
It's literally cutting off your nose to spite your own face.
Yeah, it's literally like killing yourself to hurt someone else, yeah. like which makes no sense.
Yeah.
So it's like a total babe psychotic thing to do. I've been there.
I have not been there.
As someone who has been like, that's it, I'm killing myself,
oh, yeah,
and then tried to do it. It's like, I get it, but I also don't get
But he
it.
Didn't even try to do it. He just said it.
I know. He said it and then let everyone think that he
For
did
40s.
It.
But like, again, like his mom, I'm just imagining his mom. I'm going to kill myself. Bye. And then his mom just doesn't call anyone for 40. Like, what?
Yeah, we need more
like,
info.
I need more
maybe.
Info. That's very bizarre to me.
But also,
because I would call the campus police immediately and be like, check on my son who like had threatened to kill himself.
Yeah. So. In regards to just the election and all that drama, it's like, yes, these things...
It's not worth fake killing yourself
It's not worth fake killing yourself. And doing that kind of thing is going to make your relationship with your family much, much worse.
Well, because there's no trust.
It's not make it better. Yeah.
It does not make it better.
And so I get that, like, all of this election stuff is insanely triggering and everything that's happening is, like, so triggering. And especially when your family doesn't see things the same way that you do. It just right. is, like, the recipe for disaster. But... You have to find a way to talk to them about it
and
resolve it and be chill
and not
and maybe
go to a suicide fake suicide place.
Maybe you should also go to therapy. Maybe yeah. you should skip journaling and go to therapy.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
Because that is true.
You are
I respect,
straight to therapy.
I really respect the levels of babe, but I also am like, I don't endorse those levels of babe.
Yes.
I respect them. Don't endorse them.
Yes.
But love you.
Love you mean it.
Love
but
you.
Also...
Love you to death.
Literally love you. Literally...
Love you. Obsessed
no.
with you.
But also
no. Need to know more and your journey is everything, but get your shit together.
Yeah. Okay. I agree. That's...
So if you want us to answer your
oh, that was
questions...
It?
Well, yeah, but then we're going to do more. We don't have... That was it for Is It Babe?
Oh, what are the other ones?
The Is It Babe portion of this podcast has come to an end, but if you want to get your...
Oh, I love these things. Write in more,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, write in more. Tell us, follow up if you... Like, Is It Babe is my favorite.
Yeah, I
is
love
it. Is It Babe 2, dot, dot, dot. Okay. So, oh my God. So this is really exciting because my friend Kate from, like, a girl that I grew up with, like, have known since, like, grade school, mm-hmm. wrote in, and she recently, like, started listening to the podcast and then wrote in this email. Lara and Ryan, first, I'm sending you samples of Natura Bisset skincare. Let me know your address and I'll send you some. Anything with the initials VD should never, ever be put on one's face.
Oh, that's funny.
I love that.
Also, by the way, I've relapsed. I do Vintner's Daughter again.
How's it going?
Great. But it always is great in the beginning. So we'll see. We'll see. Here's the deal. My mom bought me a bottle of Vintner's Daughter for the holidays, right when Vintner's Daughter revealed its true self to me. And I couldn't say anything to my mom because she already bought it. It was on its way to me. So now I have this full bottle of Vintner's Daughter and I feel really weird not doing anything with it. So I'm just like, well, so now I'm using it as a night serum and I just wear it before bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's been good. My skin looks good, right?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. Anyways.
Well, I feel betrayed and I think the readers feel betrayed.
The readers need to understand that my mom got me this $200 bottle of whatever and I need to use it.
Fair enough.
I come from Ventura. I don't like to waste that much money.
Seems like this justice warrior just got off the justice train.
We'll see. I mean, I might get off. I might get on it again if it causes me to break out.
So let's continue the email.
Okay, sorry.
I feel like I need to add a disclaimer. I live in Mississippi, grew up with Lara, and I'm not a psycho stalker who is going to show up at your door, just sending loads of fun skincare because having a fucked up face isn't chic. So since I know very little about LA, could you both comment on this? One, is Kyle Richards' store really a thing? I'm assuming it is somewhat staged, like the Vander Trash people actually working at Sir. Surely it's for the show because her style is actually horrible.
Oh my God,
she has access to
sleeves.
A ton of fantastic brands, yet waves her magic retail wand and ends up looking really bad. Stop with the bell sleeve.
Oh my God, the bell sleeves are truly horrific.
Yeah, they're a troll.
Kyle's Richards fashion.
The email's not done.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Stop interrupting my friend Kate.
Sorry.
I love this podcast. Lara, Butch driving through the Sonic for a Coney dog. You can't make this shit up. Now picture this. Oh, a Courtney Love's face plastered all over a t-shirt, like Lala's pop art face shirt with the word spiritual gangster. I can get behind that and would love to buy it on babemerch.com.
That's great. Spiritual gangster.
Kate, I love you. Thanks for listening.
That's a great idea for spiritual gangster.
Yeah. Start getting
what if we did one called spiritual Lawler? No.
We could get spiritual, but we need a different word than Lawler.
It doesn't work
as well as spiritual gangster.
Lawler. Yeah, it's awful.
Kate actually witnessed my dad babing out one time when we were like in middle school.
Really?
Yeah. I had her over, and I need to know from her if she remembers this, but I had her over to like hang out or like maybe spend the night, and the next day we were like, she was in the car with me and my three younger siblings and my dad, and we were deciding to like go get McDonald's for lunch. So we go in the McDonald's drive-through, and like this was right when my parents had separated. They weren't like, I don't think they were divorced yet, but they were separated. My dad was living in this like really unclear condo. Mm-hmm. And he was like not good at dealing with like all four kids at once. Like it was just like too much for him, and he'd get really trolled out by it. And like the most troll experience of all with us as children was trying to take us to McDonald's because everyone had a different order, and right. You'd have to like check all the orders and make sure. Like I was chill. I would just,
Laura.
Yes, I was like, I just want like a number five with a Diet Coke. Like I would not make any. I would get a double quarter pounder with cheese. Ooh. And like meal or whatever.
Yeah. And like meal.
Like the meal version.
Yeah.
And my brother Jake would get a cheeseburger, meat and cheese only. My brother Kurt would get a hamburger, no cheese, ketchup only. And my sister would get a cheeseburger with meat, cheese, and ketchup only. So it was like truly like,
that's horrible.
Very confusing.
Yeah.
And so we're in this line, and it was like confusing to have embarrassing to have an outsider bear witness to this like high dysfunctional order. And I remember, so we go to this we're in the McDonald's drive-thru, and my dad's like trying to place the order, but he can't get everyone's orders right. Like mm-hmm. He can't get my siblings' orders, and he keeps like fucking up saying them, and then my siblings are like, no, I want the cheese and meat only. And my dad's getting like more and more frustrated. No. And like finally he's like finally gets through like two of their orders and gets to Jake's, which is like meat and cheese only on a cheeseburger. And he's like, one cheeseburger, like meat. And then Jake was like, no, it's meat and cheese. And so finally my dad is like at the end of his rope, and he's like, gets the order in, and he's like kind of fuming. And then Jake was like, you need to get it right. It's not that hard. Like, just say it. And my dad was like, Jake, I need you to chill. And then Jake's like, well, you wouldn't like it if they got your order wrong, so you need to get our orders right. And my dad goes, Jake, at this moment, I'm so hungry, I'd eat just about anything. And then Jake goes, well, would you eat a pig with the skin on it? And my dad lost his shit. He goes, shut up! Everybody shut up! And started screaming. And Kate was in the car. I was so mortified. Like, I could have died from embarrassment in that moment.
There was nothing worse than your friends seeing the mechanic, like the dynamics. It was humiliating. I remember once having a friend over, because my mom, this is dark, I had a friend over in sixth grade. My sister's like, comes out, she goes, oh, Ryan, mom got really drunk last night. And I was just like, oh. And my friend was like, weird. And I was like, oh, because my mom had a drinking problem for a long time. So it was really traumatizing. Also, I told you, I think I mentioned this on this podcast, that my dad would make my friends pay for things.
Oh, I don't think you mentioned that.
Have I ever talked about it? I'm pretty sure I did. My dad is really cheap as a like, it's actually, it's like pathological. It like goes beyond anything. Like, we would go to McDonald's and I wasn't allowed to get a cheeseburger because the cheese costs extra. So we'd get the hamburger and then he'd grill the cheese on it at home. And then we'd go out to a movie or a dinner with my friends. And my friends were like 12 years old. And my dad would be like, hey, you mind kicking in a few bucks to my friends? He'd make my friends pay for their movies.
Wow.
He'd make my friends pay for their meal. And they were like 11 years old. It was It was traumatizing. And I think, honestly, the way my dad is with money is the reason why I'm so loosey-goosey with money. Live, laugh, spend. And yeah. I think that neither way is right. But I think the way I am is a direct reflection of my dad being such a cheap psycho. My dad will drive, my dad recently, this is a story that happened recently, a few weeks ago, was like, I need to go to the car wash. And I'm like, okay, well, great. We can go to any car wash. He goes, no, there's one in Tarzana that's really cheap. So we drive 10 miles out of our way to Tarzana, which is not chic. And we go to this car wash where there's literally a guy on meth shirtless and screaming at the sky. And it's tense and weird. And we go through the car wash. The car wash stops. We get stuck in the car wash.
No.
Yeah. And then it gets then we get it going again. We finally do it. The guy on meth is screaming. And it's my dad probably saved $2 on this. Do you know what I'm talking about?
He probably spent didn't actually save money because of the gas.
Exactly. So he goes out of his way and it's just such a troll. It is such a fucking troll.
Yeah. I remember
my dad is cheap.
We got back home and dropped Kate off because I think she lived really close by my dad's condo at the time, or she lived in the same neighborhood as his weird separation condo. And she went home and then I just went in and raged at my dad. I was like, how dare you? I was like, you are so embarrassing.
So embarrassing.
Why would you do that? Can't you just keep your shit together? I was traumatized by it.
It's really real.
Family,
when you're that age, because you're embarrassed by your parents just existing.
Yeah.
So it's added on to any kind of meltdown or real moment. You're so triggered because it's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
whatever.
Whatever.
Anyway.
Everyone has an embarrassing family.
Yeah, we finished Kate's, right?
We finished
Kate's. Thank you for the skin products, Kate. We'll review.
Yeah, we'll get back to you and review them. Here's another hater of Key West.
Oh, okay.
Anna writes, shit, this episode spoke to me. Your tale of Key West was literally my life in November. I took my second trip, not exactly my choice. Boyfriend's dad has a timeshare there for the boat races.
Ooh, timeshare. I'm already trolled.
He used to race. Side note, chic or not chic? Chic.
Sure.
It's kind of like NASCAR of the nautical world. Unclear. To Key West, and boy, do I get you on so many levels. Let's break it down. One, the town/bar scene at night, not for me. Absolute trash, and not even fun, cool trash, but middle American grindy garbage.
Oh, yes, Anna.
Two, Cuban coffee, yes.
Yes.
One of the only positives. Did you visit the Cuban Coffee Queen truck by chance? Oh.
That's where I went every day.
Yeah, adorable and actually the best CC in town. So much so that I ordered some to be shipped to New York for my boyfriend's Christmas gift.
Oh, nice.
Three, it's just a taxing and not super relaxing environment. What no one tells you before you go is that there's pretty much no actual beaches.
There's none. That's also a troll. There's no beach.
They're sparse and hard to come by. I digress. I'm reading what I wrote and semi-hating myself for sounding like a babe, but feel it's a safe space to complain where people get me. I know too many people who are actually really like Key West, and I fake my enjoyment so as not to hurt feelings. Plus, my boyfriend's family pays for my entire trip pretty much, so I'm not an even bigger troll for all of the above. I just needed to air my similar experience in Key West. Thank you for the hilarious anecdotes, Ryan.
I think that this is a safe space for people that go on vacations and don't love them.
Yeah.
I feel like...
Well, now I'm worried about putting her on blast.
Why?
Because what if her boyfriend and his family listen to this episode?
His family? I don't think so.
Honey, you never know.
But I love Anna, and I wish that I had met her, and we could have done Key West together.
Mm-hmm. Next time.
Next time. No, there won't be a next time.
Isn't there a Village People song about Key West?
I don't know. I blocked it out. Key West is a distant memory in my brain.
Well.
Love.
Keep on writing us. There's more. I mean, do you want to read more?
Yeah.
Oh, this one's a good one.
Okay. Hi, Laura and Ryan. 2007 was the year of the babe for yours truly. My biggest babe moment was returning from a live, laugh, love trip to Amsterdam with my BFF and roommate, whose birthday happened to be the day we returned to the States. Instead of spending her birthday with her and lolling over our crazy international shenanigans, I chose to go to Caddy with some friends at a golf course, chic, got absolutely trashed, came home, took a bath, fell asleep in said bath, and missed her entire birthday party. Well, I'm not...
That's funny. Babe.
Well, I'm not one to care much about birthdays. They're pretty arbitrary in my mind. I mean, you don't actually do anything to be born. Congrats. When you literally fall asleep in a bathtub due to intoxication, it's time for a little bit of self-reflection. For those interested, we didn't talk to... Oh, my God. For those interested, she didn't talk to me for an entire week afterwards, which was super awkward considering we live and work together. We're actually better than ever in terms of friendship and roommates now, but sometimes you have to hit rock bottom to rise up again, you know? I would say to keep my anonymity on the show if you decide to read this due to her embarrassment, but this story is so oddly specific, anyone I know who listens to this podcast will immediately know it's me. Here's to leaving the babe in 2007 and a babe 2018. That is hilarious.
That's hilarious.
In a completely weird move, Deanie's birthday, my friend Deanie, this was weird.
Deanie, who was just on Sexy Unique podcast.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. She was. She's great. And she had a birthday party and I got the day wrong. And I literally, like, it was on a Tuesday and I was getting ready to go to it, like, literally dressed. And I checked the invite one more time and it was like, it happened 2 days earlier. And I was just like, I was like, Deanie, I'm sorry I didn't show up to your birthday. I thought it was a stay. It was weird. It definitely felt like a Still Alice moment. Yeah. I was just like, am I losing my mind?
That's crazy.
I know. I've never got, like, to get the day wrong.
Yeah.
That's crazy, right? That's weird.
I think I've gotten the day wrong on something before.
You haven't? No. I never do. You know me. I'm so punctual and, like, so, like, organized. That was crazy. That, like, threw me for a loop.
Rightly so.
Yeah. So anyway, I explained to her that I just completely got the day wrong and she accepted it.
Yeah.
But yeah, missing the birthday party because you fell asleep drunk in the bath. Yeah.
That's falling asleep in a bath is like, you should be a little concerned.
How old is she?
Did she say? No.
Kind of honestly, to me, the age is dependent in this story.
The
I'm like,
age
if you're like 23 or 24,
just falling asleep in a bath is how Whitney Houston died. So you have to be careful.
Whitney Houston, yeah, it's true.
Yeah, she fell asleep in a bath and died.
Yeah.
And as this girl also was under the influence and fell asleep in the bath. So I just get concerned about that and just want you to be safe.
Yes.
But I love that babe story because it is a
true. We want you to
babe
safely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I think that's it.
Cool.
I still can't think of like a babe of the week for me. So I guess you'll just have two.
Okay. So we have Sky and Emma.
Sky and
Would Emma. Love to see them hang out together, Sky and Emma.
I wonder if they've met.
I'm sure they have. Is this going to end with a yawn? It started with a yawn.
It started with a yawn and ended with a yawn.
Oh, come full circle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we'll see you next week. And,
see you next week. In the meantime,
we'll hopefully have more information on t-shirts and.
Well, the t-shirts are going to be a long journey, so I don't think it's gonna. I don't think we're gonna have that much more information next week. So,
you're
like,
right.
Let's.
I'm sorry.
But stay tuned because there is merch coming.
And I'll let you know if I break my dry January tonight.
Spoiler alert, he's breaking it.
Ew, now I'm not going to break it. Fuck you.
And thank you to everyone that took our listener survey. If you're wanting to take the listener survey, go to babepodcast.com and just scroll down.
And vote for us.
You'll see a button to take the survey and also vote for us.
In the BuzzFeed thing.
How long is that open for voting?
I don't know. BuzzFeed has this thing, what's the most underrated podcast of 2018? And we would love it if you voted for Babe. That would make our hearts swell to the size of grapefruits.
I feel like that's going to end before this podcast goes live.
No, just let it, just keep it in.
Okay, well, vote for us. And also, we have an Instagram now.
Oh, we do. Yeah,
Babe Podcast. So follow us on Instagram because we're going to post tons of pictures of babes and then also like recommendations for stuff. Ryan literally has his hand in his pants touching his dick right now on the couch.
What?
So gross.
I'm a man. I'm a man. Okay. We love you guys.
We
love
you.
We're so happy to have this culture of babes, mm-hmm. little community of babes.
Write us emails at babepodcast@gmail.com.
And babe, we trust.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Actually, we just took a little break and we watched the Lindsay Lohan interview on Wendy Williams.
It was incredible.
It was incredible. Highly recommend. But I've decided that Wendy is my babe of the week.
Oh, not Lindsay.
Not
twist.
Lindsay. It's a twist.
Oh, I thought it was Lindsay.
Well, like Wendy is literally like
She's
all
so
of us.
Lit.
She's so lit for Lohan and like.
But also she asks.
She's asking the hard hitting
questions.
She's asking the questions that we would want to ask.
She literally said, "Oh, remember when I saw you at American Idol and you were like getting up to go to the bathroom a lot. Ha ha ha, cocaine. Like, she literally just referenced her doing coke.
And then
in the
she
first
goes,
2 minutes.
How are you making money?
How are you making money?
She
What's
made
your
Lindsay
income?
List her sources of income.
Which were
power move. And Wendy also was like, so is it Lohan or Lohan at the very end?
It was weird.
It was weird.
She
but
was
Wendy,
trolling Lindsay, but also...
She's trolling, but also...
I don't think Wendy is aware that she's trolling. She's
no,
a fan.
Wendy's like a true fan. And that's what I realized is that she's a real babe when it comes to Lindsay, as we all are.
I loved her grandma that was in the audience that was propped up like Weekend at Bernie's style. Because mm-hmm. she's like not here. She was wearing a tiara. She looked like she was in a coma.
Oh, Nana Lohan is like... she's 1 foot in the grave.
I mean, she's the woman who's responsible for Dina and Lindsay. So mm-hmm. just like suck on that.
Yeah.
A little bit. Let that marinate.
Michael was there.
And she literally is like, what about your family? Like, Michael did it. Like, it's like she just went there.
Yeah.
But here's the thing with Lindsay. It's like Lindsay always presents pretty well and is articulate, but she still refuses to take any kind of responsibility for anything. Like, literally, like, she's like, well, I didn't even really go out that much. Like, I just got really bad pictures of myself taken. She literally was like, I just got, you know, bad photos of me taken.
She,
like, she's in denial still.
Boils down her entire, like, kind of meltdown trajectory. She attributes it all to living in LA.
Oh, I know.
She's just like, oh, it was living in LA. Like, that was the worst thing. Like, not
she
like,
also said things that just like weren't true. She was like, oh, you know, I just came off of doing 20 something odd films. And I was like, oh.
She goes, I did 20 films in a row and then I needed a chance to just take a break and do me. And
that I'm never like, happened.
You didn't do 20
She didn't do 20 films and she was always partying no matter what.
Yeah.
Like, no, like all through her films.
She's like, I never got to go to college and have that experience. I'm like, you started partying in high school.
Yeah.
Like, you started partying when you were like 17 years old.
Yeah. It's all, she's not quite
she's not
there.
Quite there, but it's okay. And because she lives in Dubai now.
Dubai.
I know.
Emphasis on bye. Goodbye.
And, but I had a moment during this interview too where I was like, wait, Lindsay could have a comeback.
She could, but
she's
but
private
honestly
now.
Honestly though, but babe, like her Instagram presence is still insane.
But she's.
But
Britney's
see,
Instagram presence is insane.
I know that,
and she
but
had
like,
a comeback.
I know, but I see Lindsay's Instagram videos, and I'm like, oh, she's still truly insane.
Yeah, she's out of her mind.
Whenever she blows a kiss, I get triggered. She's constantly blowing kisses. You know that? It's like a weird compulsion. She's like, hello, it's Lindsay. Mwah. Mwah,
oh
mwah.
Yeah, she
it's
does
insane.
Always doing that. It's
she
an,
loves
it's
a kiss
new
blow.
Finger in the mouth. Remember how she used to always pose with her
she
finger in her mouth?
She loved a finger in her mouth.
Now
yeah.
It's a blow a kiss.
She loves to blow the kiss.
Look, Lindsay's crazy on social media, but she's now kind of a mystery. Like, she's off the grid, which is what I think you kind of need to be an actress.
I think you and I are literally the only people that still follow her.
No, Lindsay has a huge dedicated fan base.
I don't know, babe.
I would love...
It's gotten too dark for me. Sometimes I actually think about unfollowing her because it darks me out too much, her journey.
I live for it. And I'm also here for a Lindsay comeback. Someone cast her in an American movie, an American role.
It's not going to happen. She talked about a movie that she was doing called Frame that truly sounded like garbage.
I think it's going to be a movie that's only distributed in Dubai.
Yeah.
Or the United Arab Emirates, wherever.
Lindsay, like, for her to really have a comeback, she's going to need to, like, she's going to have a really candid interview where she takes responsibility for everything. Like, even in the interview with Wendy, she was like coming up with excuses for the whole Oprah project. Like it's just nonstop excuses with her. That's
yeah.
All
whatever happened to her memoir? That never went anywhere.
Yeah. Probably because she can't sit still or maybe she doesn't know how to write.
Well, yeah. But I mean, also, I guess like that also has to do a lot with telling the truth and like coming
she
clean
doesn't
about
do that.
Stuff. She doesn't want to do that. It's interesting to see her. But then also
it's weird. It's like seeing a ghost.
Yeah, but then I also ask myself, like, why does she have to be honest and tell everyone everything to have a comeback?
Because
we literally just talked about Mark Wahlberg almost killing.
No, it's true, but because I think it puts her sobriety in question. Like to me, if you're gonna do sobriety, you're gonna have to do like an Alexis Nyers, where you basically are just like, I did heroin, I was doing this, I was doing that. Like, I feel like if you're truly in recovery, you're open and honest about the places that you've been.
Mm-hmm.
And for her to be still defensive and kind of
well, she's probably not in recovery.
And, no, she's not. And to deny that whole vibe,
mm-hmm.
it makes me think that she's still using. And then that makes me think that she doesn't. She's not clean.
Yeah.
So. Anyway.
Well, there you go. Watch the Wendy Williams Lindsay interview. Yeah, you won't be disappointed.
It's two babes connecting and babing out.
It's two babes supporting their most babe journeys.
Yeah.
All right. Bye for real.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.